This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everything you're about to hear is for education and entertainment purposes only. Whilst we are licensed, we're not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any advice is general advice. Equity Mates operates under Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Mate.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast where we explore what is possible in the world of investing. If you have just joined us for the first time, a massive welcome to the community. My name is Bryce, and today we are looking at earnings season results and some highlights from the Berkshire Hathaway AGM. To chat through it, as always, is my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode. Earnings season is in full swing. We are getting more and more company results, but really... We sort of mark it in our calendars every year, Warren Buffett's annual general meeting. Well, Berkshire Hathaway's annual general meeting, where Buffett and up until this year, Charlie Munger as well, would sit on stage for 7 hours and answer questions from the audience. We were lucky enough to be there last year. And sadly, that was Charlie Munger's last as he passed away. But this year, Warren Buffett up there, for 7 hours, over 7 hours, 94 years old, munching on See's candy, boxes of chocolate, and drinking Coke like there's no tomorrow. He's still going.
He's still going. I think his answers are becoming slower and longer each year.
Yes.
You can watch the full 7.5 hours on YouTube.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to that.
Well, we've done the work and condensed it to a tight 10-minute package. So if you don't want to watch the full 7 hours, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But before we get there, there's a bunch of news happening.
News and markets.
Earnings season continues over in the US. Quarter one results coming out, and we've got a couple of companies that we're going to talk about. But Ren, we've got to start with Apple.
So Apple announced a $110 billion buyback.
And for those that have just joined, what's a buyback?
So a company can buy back their own stock and essentially destroy that stock. And really simply, let's say Equity Mates is split up into 10 shares.
Yep.
Each share is worth 10% of the company. If we make a profit and we choose to buy back two of those shares, that means there's only 8 shares left, meaning each remaining share now has 12.5% of the company. So it's a way for companies to return money to shareholders, and in the US, it's a more tax-effective way than paying dividends. Because unlike in Australia, where we have franking credits, they do not. So Apple has announced a $110 billion buyback. That is the record for the largest buyback ever.
Beating their previous record.
I was about to ask you that. Do you know, so Apple had the previous record. Do you know what it was?
I think it was about 95.
No, 100 bill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Now, $110 billion is hard to conceptualize.
Yes.
Now, before we talk about the buyback itself, let's understand what led to the buyback.
What led to it?
Well, like a good... Tell us about the good set of results is what I'm saying.
Okay, so they posted revenue of $90.75 billion for the quarter, and that is primarily broken down across their main product stream. So the iPhone delivered about $46 billion in revenue, Mac sales $7.5 billion, and iPads $5.6 billion. So majority coming there from the iPhones. Their services business delivered $24 billion in revenue, which was the biggest increase across all of their revenue streams, up 14% on last year. They delivered a $23 billion profit for the quarter. Absolutely.
For the quarter.
For the quarter, yeah. Yes. Absolutely swimming in cash. I think they have gross margins of almost 50%, so that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, I mean, what that net margin is like 25%, 26%.
Yeah. So $23 billion profit for the quarter. So iPhone sales, though, were down 10% year on year. They put it to the fact that they haven't actually released a new iPhone in that period of time.
Isn't it also China?
Well, China sales were down 8%, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And Huawei is smoking them over there.
Yeah. Tim Cook said he's not concerned about the short-term impact of China. He's very much on the long-term, we're going to be all good.
Yeah.
But overall sales were down 4% across the company. So nonetheless, $23 billion in profit, Ren, what do you do with it? That's what leads to the $110 billion buyback.
Yeah. Are they also paying a dividend?
I'm actually not sure.
They normally pay a dividend. So you pay a dividend and then you also do the world's largest buyback. Now, $110 billion is 166 billion Aussie dollars at the current exchange rate.
Okay.
And so I was wondering, how do I wrap my head around the size of this? So I've got four groups of companies, and as I go through it, just keep that $166 billion in mind.
Sure.
So my first group of companies, Australia's and Britain's supermarkets, collectively,
yeah,
$124 billion. So that's Woolies. These are all numbers in Aussie dollars. Woolies, $37 billion. Coles, $22 billion. Tesco, $40 billion. Morrison's, $13 billion. Sainsbury's, $12 billion. That's their share market value. That's their market cap.
So $42 billion spare.
Yeah. So Apple could buy Australia and Britain's supermarket sector.
Wow.
And still have $40 billion to spare.
Wow.
So that's one. How about this grouping? Australia's software companies, WiseTech Global, REA Group, which is realestate.com, Car Group, which is car sales, Pro Medicus, Xero, Altium, Megaport, Ordinate, and Webjet, $116 billion.
Wow.
So that's still $50 billion Aussie dollars short of what Apple is spending on this buyback. I've got two more. What about this? Basically, all of listed legacy media. News Corp, Channel 9, 7 West, The New York Times, Warner Brothers Discovery, Paramount, Fox Corp, ARN Media, and Southern Cross Oz Stereo. All of that legacy media.
Less than 100 bill.
No, surely. 102 bill Aussie.
Not far off.
Keep in mind, Apple is spending 166
billion. So they could
do
that and half of Britain and US and Australian supermarkets.
Yeah, they could do all that legacy media bucket.
And scoop up Woolies supermarket
and Coles. Woolies and, oh, they couldn't quite squeeze Coles. They could get Woolies and a Sainsbury's perhaps.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And then one final one just to complete this picture. All the smaller social media stocks with the dating apps thrown in. So we've got Reddit, Snapchat, Pinterest, Trump Media and Technology Group, Match Group, which owns like Hinge and Tinder and Match.com, and Bumble, all of those companies...
80 bill.
122 billion Aussie.
That's more than I thought.
But still, 166 billion.
Also, just think about all of those companies that you just went through and then compare that to the $1 trillion-plus market caps of these companies. Like, these tech companies are just...
Like, you've got to just, like, pause. Like, go back to the supermarkets one. So, those five supermarkets, like, Woolworths alone would employ, what, 150,000 people?
I think close to two, yeah.
Yeah, 200,000 people. Like, collectively, those five supermarkets, they might be getting close to, like, 1 million people employed. And collectively, the efforts of those 1 million people and all the suppliers and all the contractors and everything that goes into that supply chain, collectively, that is valued at $124 billion.
It's crazy.
And Apple is doing a buyback that is worth more than that. Like, the scale of these tech companies is unfathomable.
Yeah. I mean, you're turning $23 billion profit a quarter.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway, huge results coming from Apple. Although the stock hasn't performed as well as some of its tech counterparts to kick off 2018.
Yeah, I mean, like, the stock market is future-facing, and investors would look at the results and say there are some questions about Apple.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like, the iPhone sales are slowing story is literally a decade old.
Mm, I know, every year.
Services has come through and...
I was at a party on the weekend and there was a product owner from Apple there, previously worked on the Apple Watch and had previously worked on a bunch of other things. And he was saying, and of course he would say this, he works for the company, but version 5 or 6 of Apple Vision Pro... Game changing. Yeah. He's just like lock and load.
Yeah, okay.
Be prepared. Anyway, Ren, a couple more that we wanted to touch on is Coinbase and Block. The reason for this, though, is because the effect of the rise in Bitcoin has really shone through in these results. So Coinbase is the major exchange in the US for buying cryptocurrencies. So they posted $1.64 billion in revenue for the quarter. They've got a net income of $1.18 billion.
How are those margins?
I know.
But I think there's a wrinkle hiding in that number.
There is a wrinkle. Firstly, we'll just compare that to a loss same time last year of $78 million.
I reckon there's also a wrinkle in that number. The same wrinkle is in both numbers.
Yes. Yeah, so what the impact of Bitcoin here is that the profit number includes a $650 million, what they call market-to-market gain in essentially the Bitcoin value. Mark to market crypto. So essentially what they're saying is the value of our crypto has gone up, and this is where you put this on. That is an accounting standard that they have to do.
Yeah, so this is Warren Buffett's big gripe. The GAAP accounting standards require companies to recognize movements in the fair value of their investment in their profit and loss number. Mm. And so in this case, it's crypto. For Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway, it's its stock market investments. But the movements in these markets affect their profit and loss rather than their like operating earnings.
So anyway, the stock's up 42% year to date. But the story continues to Block, previously known as Square. They made $5.96 billion in revenue for the quarter, driven a lot by their Cash app, which is growing, $1.2 billion in gross profit, 25% jump year on year, 57 million monthly active users. However, their Bitcoin, again, is driving a lot of this. $220 million was the value of their, was what they invested in Bitcoin. It's grown 160%, now worth just over $500 million at the end of the first quarter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember when we had Bitcoin on our balance sheet?
Yes.
Damn it.
I tried to find some info on what how Afterpay is going. As we know, Block acquired Afterpay, but I think they're trying to hide that. I did read, though, and this is not surprising, that it's sort of coming back a bit because now cost of living crisis, people are turning to that form of credit to buy, which is unfortunate. Buy now, pay later.
It's funny. I often think about the decisions made in 2021 and whether they regret it. So Meta changing its name to Meta, they probably regret that. And Block changing its name to Block and buying Afterpay. Like, they probably
you're
regret
like,
that.
Damn. $26 billion.
Yeah, anyway. All right, well, Bryce, let's take a quick break here. And then on the other side, let's talk about one more company that has reported its earnings and made a big song and dance about it, which is Berkshire Hathaway. So we'll talk about how they have gone in this year and we'll share our highlights from the Woodstock for Capitalists, which is the Berkshire Hathaway annual general meeting.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Equity Mates. We are talking all things earnings season. We have covered Apple's unbelievable buyback. We've talked about how crypto is buoying the fortunes of Coinbase and Block. Now we're going to talk about a company that is not investing in crypto, that one of the leaders of the company last year called crypto rat poison.
Yeah.
And that's Berkshire Hathaway. I guess to start this conversation, let's talk about Berkshire Hathaway, the company, and talk about how they've gone this year.
Yep.
And then let's talk about Berkshire Hathaway, the event, and what Buffett spoke about.
So they had a pretty strong quarter. They had $11.2 billion in operating earnings, which was up from $8 billion on same time last year.
Now, and operating earnings is that same thing that we were talking about before the break, where it's that's the actual profit that the companies are generating, and that doesn't include the movement in share prices from their investments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commentary on their cash position. They hold a record $188 billion in cash. So think about the $166 billion buyback. Warren's got serious cash there to scoop up.
Well, no, that $166 is Aussie dollars. So the Apple's $110 billion US dollar buyback, and then this is $188 billion. So again, it's like an order of magnitude higher.
Huge. They trimmed their stake in Apple. They are the largest shareholder in Apple, but they trimmed it by 13%.
Yeah, Apple was also like 40% of their investment portfolio.
Massive. Yeah. He's made such incredible returns on that.
There was a question that was, you know, you let your winners run, you know, Coca-Cola, American Express, you've literally held for decades and you haven't trimmed. Why are you trimming Apple?
I read that he suggested it's because he doesn't want a fat tax bill. Or it's something tax related.
But that logic also applies to his Coke investment.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of weak.
Yeah. Anyway,
it must be that they're
Coke
concerned.
Is an emotional investment for him.
True.
Anyway, strong set of results from Berkshire, but it was really driven at the core of it by a huge increase in the insurance business, the insurance underwriting. There was a gain of 185% in earnings from that business, up to almost $3 billion from about $1 billion the same year ago. So there's that $8 to $11 billion jump.
Yeah. Now, Buffett over the weekend sat and took questions from investors, wasn't with Charlie. He was joined by Greg Abel, who you were thoroughly unimpressed with last year.
Just so boring.
I don't think he did a lot to change your mind this year.
Yeah, definitely not.
So Greg Abel is going to take over the whole operating business, but Buffett also said this year he's also going to oversee the investments as well. So Greg Abel is going to be the man. But then on the insurance side, and insurance is Berkshire's superpower, Ajit Jain is going to continue to run that, and from what I saw of him, I thought it was pretty impressive. So we've cut up this package of some of the highlights from the question and answer session. We cover why Berkshire sold Apple, Buffett's thoughts on AI, and it does make me laugh that we turn to a 94-year-old for his thoughts on AI, but he also answers questions on the amount of cash that they have, self-driving cars and what that will do to the insurance business, Paramount Global, a stock that Buffett lost a lot of money on, and a few other questions. And obviously, there's some thoughts on Charlie as well.
Yes. All right. Well, here's about a 10-minute clip straight from the Berkshire Hathaway AGM. We hope you enjoy it.
Let's start just given what you mentioned. There was some news that came out in the 10Q this morning. It shows that Berkshire sold another 115 million shares of Apple in this last quarter. That's Berkshire's largest holding. Have you or your investment manager's views of the economics of Apple's business or its attractiveness as an investment changed since Berkshire first invested in 2016?
No, I would. But we have sold shares. I would say that at the end of the year, I would think it extremely likely that Apple is the largest common stock holding we have now. We can buy really wonderful companies in the market. As businesses, we can't buy all of them. All of their shares, we can't buy 90% or 80% or anything like that. But when we look at Coca-Cola and American Express and Apple, we look at them as businesses. Now, there's differences in tax factors, there's difference in managerial responsibility, a whole bunch of things. But in terms of deploying your money, we always look at every stock as a business, and we have no way, no attempt made to predict markets. We have no attempt made to pick stocks. It's such a simple approach that it's almost deceptive. Most things, if you keep working harder and harder at it, you learn a little more math or you learn a little more physics. But investments, you don't really have to do that. You really have to have your mindset properly. So we will end up, unless something dramatically happens that really changes capital allocation, we will have Apple as our largest investment.
Now that the AI genie is out of the bottle, what business in Berkshire Hathaway may be most at risk with AI?
Well, that's a wonderful question. The problem is I really don't know anything about AI, but obviously, anything that's labor-intensive and that it can create an enormous amount of leisure time. AI is profound. That's what makes it a genie, is what can happen. In terms of our businesses, they'll figure things out. I mean, we've got smart people, and obviously if it's used in a pro-social way, it's got terrific benefits to society, but I don't know how you make sure that that's what happens any more than I know how to be sure that when you use two atomic bombs in World War II that you knew that you hadn't created something that could destroy the world later on.
Yeah, when you think of all our businesses, I mean, we do have a heavy labor workforce in a lot of them, but I think we, at the stage we're at as a company and maybe where it's at right now, it's really around how do we do things more effective, more efficiently, more safely if it involves dangerous processes. So we're early innings.
When you think of the potential for scamming people, if you can reproduce images that I can't even tell, that say, I need money, it's your daughter, I've just had a car crash, I need $50,000 wired. I mean, scamming has always been part of the American scene. But this would make me, if I was interested in investing in scamming, it's going to be the growth industry of all time, and it's enabled in a way. Obviously AI has potential for good things too, but I don't know how you, based on the one I saw recently, I practically would send money to myself over in some crazy country. I don't have any advice on how the world handles it, because I don't think we know how to handle what we did with the nuclear genie. But I do think, as someone who doesn't understand a damn thing about it, that it has enormous potential for good and enormous potential for harm. And I just don't know how that plays out.
This question's from Johan Halen, who writes, you're sitting on $168 billion of cash, which you told us today is now more than $182 billion. His questions are, one, what is Buffett waiting for? And two, why not at least deploy some of it?
I don't think anybody sitting at this table has any idea of how to use it effectively, and therefore we don't use it, and we don't use it now at 5.4%, but we wouldn't use it if it was at 1%. Don't tell the Federal Reserve that, but we prefer it. But we only swing at pitches we like, and if anybody tried to swing at every pitch or felt that because they hadn't swung at a pitch for the last two pitches. They ought to swing at the third one or something like that. But I would say this. I would not like to be running $10 billion now. $10 million, I think Charlie or I could earn high returns on, because I think there's just a few things that happen on a very, very small scale. But if we had $10 billion, I wouldn't basically see many more opportunities than we found. Now, it's true that something like Japan, we could have done.
This question's for Warren and Ajit. As a Berkshire and Tesla shareholder, I would like to hear your thoughts on the potential financial effects to GEICO, assuming Elon Musk delivers on his fully autonomous driving goal. On Tesla's most recent earnings call, Elon said, "If you've got at scale a statistically significant amount of data that shows conclusively that the autonomous car has, let's say, half the accident rate of a human-driven car, I think that's difficult to ignore. Assuming Elon succeeds in reducing accidents by 50% versus human drivers, wouldn't auto insurance rates fall to reflect the reduced underwriting risk, thereby adversely impacting GEICO's revenues and float and perhaps margins too?"
Well, let's just take the extreme example. Let's say there are only going to be three accidents in the United States next year for some crazy reason that anything that reduces accidents is going to reduce costs, but that's been harder to do than people have done before. But obviously, but if it really happens, the figures will show it, and our data will show it, and the prices will come down. There have been a lot of people talk about doing that in the past. I mean, General Motors used to be very big in the insurance business, and when Uber first started, they used some firm, which now is, I think Ajit will confirm, they're close to bankruptcy now, aren't they, because of taking things on at the wrong prices. Is that true?
Yep. Yep.
Insurance always looks easier than it is, and it's so much fun because you get the money at the start, and then you find out whether you've done something stupid later on. It's a very tempting business when somebody hands you money and you hand them a little piece of paper. We always hope at Berkshire to pay substantial federal income taxes. We think it's appropriate that a country that's been as generous to our owners, it's been the place. I was lucky. Berkshire was lucky was here. And if we send in a check like we did last year, we send in over $5 billion to the U.S. federal government. And if 800 other companies had done the same thing, no other person in the United States would have had to pay a dime of federal taxes, whether income taxes. I should just throw this out since there's been speculation on it. I was 100% responsible for the Paramount decision. I read speculation that, no, it was 100% my decision. And we sold it all, and we lost quite a bit of money, and that happens in this business too. Actually, owning Paramount, I think I'm smarter now than I was a couple years ago, but I also think I'm poorer because I acquired the knowledge in the manner I did. I just want to be very clear that if, A, we lost money on Paramount, and B, I did it all by myself, folks.
Today, by my math, the S&P 500 has a market capitalization of around $44 trillion with profits of around $1.45 trillion. This is a very similar return on investment to the 1999 levels. Do you see similarities in the market today and the 1999 levels?
Well, one thing has changed dramatically from 1990. I misunderstood on the 1999, but there have been times in my life that I've been awash in so many opportunities that I could have invested everything by nightfall. And then there's other times when the year goes, well, not in the early days, but now we haven't seen anything that makes sense that moves the needle. Now, we've made small acquisitions during the year. Our companies have made acquisitions, and Greg and I may talk about something that involves a $300 million purchase or something like that. And if it fits well enough, we do it.
My name is Ange Andronikis, and I'm wondering, if you had one more day with Charlie, what would you do with him?
Mm. kind of interesting because, in effect, I did that one more day. I mean, it wasn't a full day or anything, but we always lived in a way where we were happy with what we were doing every day. I mean, Charlie liked learning. He liked a wide variety of things. So he was much broader than I was. But I didn't have any great desire to be as broad as he was, and he didn't have any great desire to be as... But we had a lot of fun doing anything. You know, we played golf together, we played tennis together, we did everything together. We had as much fun, perhaps even more to some extent, with things that failed, because then we really had to work and work our way out of them. And in a sense, there's more fun having somebody that's your partner in digging your way out of a foxhole than there is just sitting there and watching an idea that you got 10 years ago just continually produce more and more profit. So he really fooled me, though. He went to 99.9 years. I mean, if you'd pick two guys, he publicly said he never did a day of exercise except where it was required when he was in the Army. So he never did a day of voluntary exercise. He never thought about what he ate. You know, we started every day, and Charlie had... He was interested in more things than I was, but we never had any doubts about the other person, period. So if I'd had another day with him, we'd probably have done the same thing we were doing the earlier days, but and we wouldn't have wanted another. We only had one day. there's a great advantage in not knowing where you're going to, what day you're going to die. But Charlie always said, you know, that just tell me where I'm going to die, so I'll never go there. Well,
well, there you have it. Words from the Oracle of Omaha and his compatriots at the Berkshire AGM. As we said, if you want to check out the full 7.5 hours, it is on YouTube.
We'll include it in the show notes for people that want to watch the whole thing, but I think what we've just cut up there does a good job of summarising it.
I would say that if there's one thing you watch, it's when Ren and I went last year, they release a movie at the start of, right at the start of it, and everyone in the theatre sits there and, or the stadium, I should say, sits there and watches Buffett essentially act in random ads for his subsidiary companies.
And the thing with this is, it never leaks from... Yes. They do it every year, and they tell you, don't have your phone, and if you see someone with their phone, report them.
Yeah.
Like, it's super tight security.
Yeah.
And the videos that they produce there, and they have celebrities and stuff in them, they never leak.
You can never get them. CNBC don't release it.
But this year, for the first time, the video was released.
Yeah, and the reason being, it's a 20-minute, I guess... Homage, is that the right
homage,
word?
Homage, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To Charlie. And Buffett didn't actually speak at Charlie's funeral, so I think this was Buffett's way of giving Charlie his thanks and the time. So it's 20 minutes at the start. Give that a watch. But anyway, that brings us to the end of our episode today. If you find that we provide you with a lot of value and you get, you know, good information from Equity Mates, then we'd appreciate if you could just leave a rating and review through your podcast app. It goes a long way to helping us get in front of new Equity Mates to help them on their investing journey. But Ren, we'll leave it there. Pick it up next episode.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540-697.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.